Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Beltway Blitz is coming your way on Grant and Danny. Those wings are delicious.
They're good.
They're very, very good.
Very strong.
But they did make me cough there.
Just now.
They're delicious and they're wonderful and we're happy to be here. Uptown Alley. You know where they don't have wings is in the studio where we normally broadcast from.
That's right.
No wings.
If you're comparing.
No fellowship and camaraderie with burgundy and gold wearing DC sports fans.
One place wingless and solitary.
Right.
The other jocular and wing filled.
This is the way we like it. This is our Friday.
Kind of in Darius' face a little bit.
Yeah, Darius just got a little salty.
He's like these wings. Fuck you. Come on. Having a good time.
He is by himself working a couple gigs back in the studio doing his job, and Ryan's job, and a bunch of jobs. He's not out here eating wings.
Just eating wings and fried food. And Darius is like, all right, let me call three people for the blitz. We're like, how are you going to eat that one?
Darius, we're proud of you, and we thank you for your efforts.
Thank you.
You walked so we could run or something like that.
Yeah, you stayed there so we could eat wings.
In fact,
that's how the expression goes.
In honor of Darius working really hard, we might eat crab cakes that he brings in with Christian next week.
So
on Tuesday, we're going to find out if Darius is still allergic to seafood. So here's what's going to happen. He's going to go to the doctor.
Yes.
And actually find out if he's still allergic to seafood. The doctor's going to tell him yes or no, like a gender reveal, on a piece of paper that he's going to wrap and put in an envelope. Darius will bring in the envelope. We'll reveal on the show Tuesday whether or not he's still allergic.
Like it's full Maury Povich style, right?
Right.
You are allergic to shellfish.
Or you're not. But the reason this is amazing is because we're going to have gigantic, delicious crab cakes and all kinds of wonderful seafood to eat. And if Darius is no longer allergic, he can eat it with us. And if he is still allergic, then we're going to eat ours and his. It's the best.
It's the greatest reveal of all time. You know, benefits directly is us, regardless of how it goes.
Right. That's why kind of strategically
it
made a
lot of sense.
Yeah,
it's very smartly done.
But it is time for the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We'll cover the NFL. The Wizards opened their season last night, and the Commanders as they get ready for the Bears. Let's get to it. We begin going around the National Football League with our buddy Zach Kruger. Zach, why don't we start with last night? The Vikings got an opportunity to get to six wins and didn't cash in. They've now dropped two in a row. For the Rams, they got Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp back, and they look like a completely different team. What'd you make of Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, Thursday Night Football is just kind of that game that you get into every week and you wonder what's going to happen. And there was a lot of that, particularly on the Rams side. Puka Nacua coming back from his injury that had limited him since week one. If I remember correctly, Nacua was he had his 21-day return window activated earlier this week. It's not often you see a player be activated from injured reserve the same week he has his window open. So there's a lot of concern about how much Nacua would play, if he would be his normal self. I actually had told people, be a little weary of him heading into this game. We just don't quite know. He caught seven passes for 106 yards, made me look terrible. Cooper Kupp, five catches, 51 yards, a touchdown. He's back looking good. The Rams were clicking on offense by all accounts. And, yeah, the Vikings have now lost two in a row. Darnold didn't look terrible in this one, but it also was not enough to beat a Rams team that if you're going to start the season 5-2, you should be beating a Rams team in prime time. So, not a great look for the Vikings, and now we just kind of sit around and watch and see if the Rams can, make a late postseason push.
Yeah, weird. Your offense gets better when good offensive players come back. In the Rams' case, speaking of players coming back, I have no idea what to expect from the Dolphins. Tua returning, whether he should or shouldn't, irrelevant. He is, and I don't know what to expect from this Dolphins team. It wasn't great when he was healthy, but he wasn't healthy for very long. What are you expecting here this week?
So the good news, Danny, is I really don't think it can get any worse. Let me just give you a couple numbers real quick. In the four games without Tua, the Dolphins averaged 10 points per game. Now, I know they weren't great in the first two games. They had 20 points in week one, and then Tua got injured in that second game, but they didn't even crack 20 in week two. So they only averaged 10 points per game, though, with Tua out. Tyreek Hill averaged 4 catches for 35 yards in those 4 games without Tua. Jalen Waddle averaged 3 catches for 30 yards without Tua. It was like a reversion back to 1940s football where pass catchers do nothing except it was an offense being run by an offensive mastermind, supposedly, in Mike McDaniel. So I do expect them to certainly bounce back against the Cardinals defense that's allowed 250 points over the last or 250 yards through the air, excuse me, over the last 2 weeks. I am a little concerned about Tyreek Hill. Popped up on the injury report, the foot injury yesterday. Mike McDaniel says he expects both him and Jalen Waddle, who's dealing with the quad, to play. So we're going to treat that as if they're going to be going. It's going to be also some fear for the Dolphins. But, yeah, I'm still worried about this Dolphins offense until I can see that Tua was actually the missing link that's going to tie everything back together.
One other game I'm really interested in this week is the Browns and the Ravens. Looks like Lamar Jackson is the front runner to win the MVP award right now. It'd be his third MVP already. They play the Browns, as I mentioned, who are without Deshaun Watson, ruptured Achilles, out for the year. So it's Jameis Winston time. How different do you think the Browns will be in for people with, you know, players in Cleveland and on their fantasy roster? Does anybody's value jump now that you have someone who might not be inept at quarterback playing?
Yeah, so the big thing I think when you get Jameis Winston is you're going to have a guy who's going to air the ball out a lot. We know that for better or worse, that was his reputation as a starter with the Buccaneers. We even saw that a little bit with him during his time with the Saints. He hasn't started a game in the last since 2022, but in his last 3 starts, he threw for 858 total yards, 4 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Probably the perfect Jameis Winston line, also completed 64.5% of his passes in those games. Against the Ravens in particular, David Njoku has been great all season. I expect him to have a great outing after Cade Otton of the Buccaneers went for over 100 yards against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. And then the guy I'm very interested in seeing after his somewhat breakout performance in Week 7 is the wide receiver Cedric Tillman of the Browns. Took advantage of the start after Amari Cooper was traded, saw 12 targets, which is just obscene. That actually ties for the most any Browns player has seen this year. Who had before that total was Amari Cooper earlier this year. Tillman caught 8 passes for 81 yards. And we know the other 2 receivers on the Browns don't offer much of a threat between Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore. They've been wildly underused this year. I'm interested in Tillman. I'm interested to see how he can stretch the field with Winston. And then on the Ravens side, Zay Flowers, just real quick, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. Officially questionable this week after getting a limited session on Friday. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Lamar Jackson looks like the MVP, and having Flowers in this one will be great for him against the Browns.
Zachariah, thank you as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
We'll see you, brother. There's hit that wizard sounder. My God, it's the Wizards music.
Hang on, you got to polish some dust off that sound.
It has been a minute. We welcome Greg Finberg on, who covers the Wizards, Bullets Forever, a hoops head. Greg, I liked what I saw from Jordan Poole last night. Forget about the fact that he was on fire at the beginning. He's better with the ball in his hand, so that's good. What's not as good is it seemed like Kyle Kuzma and he had never met, and I'm worried about Kuzma getting going if Poole's going to dominate the offense.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, obviously, Jordan Poole was very impressive. He had 5 threes in the first quarter, finished with 26 points on 6 of 11 from 3, so that's a positive for the Wizards. When you look at Kyle Kuzma, I mean, I tweeted out, it looks like he's still, you know, getting into playing shape. The preseason, he looked like he wasn't there. I think he put up his 5th air ball since the start of the preseason last night. So, you know, a pretty differing performances. You know, Jordan Poole looked exactly like the Wizards hoped when they switched him over to point guard. It looked like he was comfortable playing the role that he's supposed to play. Kyle Kuzma didn't. You know, shot 6 of 16, had a couple of defensive lapses, and kind of, like you said, looking at Jordan Poole versus Kyle Kuzma, 2 completely different opening night performances.
How about the kids? Obviously, we got to check on Bub Carrington. What do we know about the injury with him? And then all eyes are on the youngsters. Alex Saar making his debut, getting to see Keshawn George. What'd you think?
Yeah, so in terms of Bub, Brian Keefe reported that it's a mild ankle sprain. He actually, Bub participated fully in practice on Friday, so it looks like he'll be good to go for Saturday's game against Cleveland at home. You know, I thought Alex Saar showed what he can do on defense. There was a specific period in the second quarter where he blocked Drew Holiday, ran the floor, got a putback dunk, ran back on defense, guarded Tatum on the perimeter, and forced a miss. That's the defensive versatility that you're looking for. That's why the Wizards drafted him. I'd like to see Alex Saar get more paint touches. I mean, he's 1 of 2 inside the paint, 0 of 5 from 3. That's kind of been an issue with him kind of lingering or lurking on that 3-point line instead of getting in the paint. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more paint touches. In terms of Bub, I think he was 1 of 6. He had a nice jumper in the first quarter. Had some good looks, just didn't fall. But overall, I liked what I saw from him. You know, rebounded as well. So a pretty decent game. You know, minus the injury from Bob. And in terms of Keyshawn George, he kind of looked like what you'd hope for. You know, 0-4 from three isn't great. You know, for a guy that shot 50% in the preseason from deep, but you know, made 2 baskets, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, defended really well, pretty much 1 through 4. So you had some ups, you had some downs. What you're going to expect from a few 19-year-old rookies. But at the same time, you know, decent performances from all, and they're obviously all going to get better throughout the season. So pretty intriguing.
Jordan Poole made 6 of their 7 threes. They were like 1 for 25 or something as a team outside of Poole. Are they going to be a bad three-point shooting team in general? Because they've made no bones about it. They want to shoot a ton of threes.
Yeah, so they shot well, Jordan Poole had a 6 of 11 from 3. The rest of the team was 1 of 25, so obviously not great. And the only other person that made a 3 was Patrick Wellman Jr., you know, probably their 12th or 13th man off the bench in garbage time. So, you know, not that little production, especially for, like you said, a team that hopes to be a team that chucks up a large portion of their shots from beyond the arc isn't great. It's not a good start. In terms of will they be a bad three-point shooting team, they don't have many great shooters. I mean, outside of Poole and Kispert, there's no one really known for outside shooting prowess. I mean, Kyle Kuzma can make the three, but he's pretty inefficient at that. You got Alex Starr, Bob, Keyshawn, they're young guys still finding their form. So, again, if you can go out there and shoot as many threes as you want, but if you're not a good three-point shooting team, that might not be the best recipe for success.
Greg, are they going to play Alex Starr at the five a lot? I'm kind of leery of that. I almost want to take some pressure off with Valanciunas. That's kind of why he's here to me. Sarr could do it to me against small ball fives, and maybe this is kind of, you know, matchup dependent, but I'm a little bit worried about that, having him bang against some of the bigger players. To me, he's a 4.5, and he's super intriguing, and I like him a lot, but I worry about him having to actually cover centers. What are you thinking there?
It's certainly a good point, and it's something that I've discussed as well before the season. Playing him alongside Valanciunas seems great. You know, he can play alongside a bigger center. He can defend on the perimeter. He can defend down low. He can kind of show a little bit more of his game. But yep. when we saw that in the preseason, in the first game that they started together, there was no driving lanes for the offense. I mean, Alex Starr, Valanciunas were pretty much clogging the paint. And then when you look at the shooting, I mean, it's already poor, but you factor in two big men that can shoot the three but aren't efficient at that. Their lineup didn't necessarily work and mesh together. So I'm not saying that they can't experiment with Starr at the four, but if they'd like him to start and they're going to hold on to Kuzma, it seems like Kuzma's going to hold down that spot, and it's kind of Starr has to start at the five. So it's a little difficult, but I do agree with your point that, you know, they should try to get Alex some more reps at the four, because I do think, you know, in the long run, he will be a power forward.
Greg, thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. Good info.
Thank you as well.
You got it, man. Long basketball season ahead for the Wizards. Let's talk some football. We're live at Uptown Alley, hanging out ahead of a Commanders Sunday with the Bears, a home game in Landover, Maryland at Northwest Stadium. And the good guys are trying to get to 6-2 for the first time since 2008. Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, and the Richmonder joins us now. Miguel, thanks for a couple minutes, buddy. Do you think Jaden Daniels plays on Sunday?
No, I do not. I think that the lack of him in practice on Wednesday and Thursday, I go back to the original comment, Grant, week to week, right? Week to week rarely means this week. You know, when they first looked at this and you talk to people who've dealt with this injury, they tell you it's a 1 to 2 week injury, right? So I think they're going to play this ultra cautious. I think they like what they have in Marcus Mariota. Cliff Kingsbury's dealing right now for sure. I'm not going to pretend to you guys their chances of winning increase. They certainly decrease through this, but I think it's the prudent long-term play, and I think it's the one they'll make.
Okay, so if he doesn't play, how does that change your expectations for the weekend?
Yeah, I think this Bears defense is really good, but I also think the Bears offense is really good. And they're a nightmare to match up with at wide receiver with these guys at the corners. I think it's a learning experience here. You know, I think the line's probably generous to these guys, keeping them within 2.5 or 3 points, depending on where you look. I think that, you know, they're counting on Cliff Kingsbury dialing up the runs, dialing up the Brian Robinson, the Austin Ekeler in space, all the things that have worked for these guys. The question is, are those things going to be available without the threat of Jaden Daniels, right? Jaden Daniels' legs set up so many things in this offense. His ability to throw it downfield. He didn't do it every game. He didn't do it every play. But when he did it, defenses had to be aware of it. That kind of disappears out the window. I think that's the question. How much of this success is sustainable without the threat of number five?
And that's, I think, the big question, right? Because there is this thought that when Daniels went down, Mariota played great and the offense looked the same. But that was Carolina. And Carolina's defense is terrible. And they were without, I believe, six players last week. So how much of their success do you think was that versus Mariota's a fit in this offense that can operate things at a high level?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was. It was Carolina last week. I mean, that's a team. I can't imagine trying to get up for every game as that team the rest of the way, knowing you're about to be in, you know, go play professional football and you don't have a chance of winning or amounting to anything. It's nice to be on this side. It's nice to be on the good owner, the good team side. I feel the juice out there at Uptown Alley. I love that. You know, a nice Friday field trip, everybody feeling good. I think everybody can feel good even if those things don't happen this weekend. I go back to, I think the Bears are going to be able to get to Mariota. I think this is a very good defense, you know, even outside the Montez Sweat revenge factor. I think they're going to make life difficult for the quarterback. I do think, though, we maybe don't give enough credit to how resilient this team has been when facing adversity this year. I think about the Cleveland game. I think about the Baltimore game. Both times where they got punched in the mouth early and came back and got better over the course of the game. So even if they give up a couple early to the Bears here, I'm not going to count them out.
Okay, what's the key then, right? If there's, let's say there's no Daniels for this. We're calling this the Phillips scenario. What is the key to winning this game if you don't have Jaden Daniels but you do have Mariota? What's the formula?
I think you got to produce takeaways on defense. I think that's such an important thing to win games in the NFL. It's the telling statistic, and it's something these guys have gotten better at over the last couple of weeks but have, you know, not been super impactful with overall. Coming off the bye, I'll be curious to see how Caleb Williams looks. It's a little bit of taste of their own medicine here. Williams plays with a lot of tempo, or has over the last couple of weeks. They've really adopted that, and that's worked well for him. So, that, you know, this is a team that's going to know what they're going up against. They got to find a way to rattle him, to disrupt him. I think it starts up front, but I think the linebackers, I've loved Dante Fowler the last couple of weeks. Would love for him to be an impact player again on Sunday.
Michael, we appreciate you, bro. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
See you, buddy.
That's Michael Phillips. That is your Beltway Blitz. If Jaden Daniels is out, and we will further discuss whether we think that's the case as soon as we return, but let's say he can't go on Sunday, what is this offense going to look like? How different will the play calling, the design, the structure be? And what about the execution? Let's say they want to look similar. Will they be able to against an excellent Bears defense? Make no mistake about it, this is the best defense they've played this season. This is a top five unit they'll be dealing with in the National Football League. You're listening to G&D.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at Uptown Alley in Manassas, the Friday Field Trip Series ongoing. That's right. They're making some noise, Grant and Danny on the fan. I'm seeing a lot of Commanders gear, which we like.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too.
Love burgundy and gold.
I do love that. I love burgundy and gold. The actual burgundy and gold.
That wasn't supposed to be that you were bummed out about that. I'm saying there's a lot of gear of the football team.
No, there's the acceptance. There is.
Just say the name.
No.
Just put your left hand up.
Nope.
The people want to see you.
They don't.
Put your left hand up.
It's embarrassing.
Who wants to see Danny put his left hand up?
Who rightfully has shame at that? And who is embarrassed that that's even a thing? Yeah, I see some cheers too.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it right?
That was not, maybe not 50-50, but it was like
tepid.
70-30.
See, when you're ashamed, you don't cheer real loud. You hang your head.
So there will be no left hand upping from you today.
No, not today. Not today. And you can check back with me at any day.
On our Friday field trip.
That's a no for me, dog.
Maybe by the end of the year, can we get a live performance.
A live look in.
From Danny Ruye.
Stop it.
Left hand upping.
Stop it. Here's what I'll commit to. If they are playing the NFC title game at home at Northwest Nubs Field, east of the city, and they are favorites in that game to go to the Super Bowl.
This is a big moment
here. For the first time since I was a kid.
Big moment on Grant and Danny.
I will promise you here, and I'll promise those of you listening, that I will still never do it because it's embarrassing.
See, I knew that was coming because I worked
Everybody
with you
for way too long. Stop it. Stop it, all of you. I beg you. Bring back shame. Bring back the shame. And let's all act accordingly. Cheer for the football team. Change the uniforms and the name.
In the meantime, I'm pulling the strings behind the scenes to have a live left-hand up performance at a future
Friday you want me to like
Friday field trip.
Be like harassed by the mascot at some point? You got all sorts of things you're concocting.
Major, this is true, actually. I'm working out a situation where Major Tutty comes in studio and gives Danny a big hug and gives him a little
a
rub
noogie
on the
or whatever you call it.
Yeah, noogie during his live show.
He can't come on the show because he doesn't talk.
Right? I get sice for Major Tutty. I know I'm in the minority
You certainly
that.
Are.
He is hilarious.
Is he?
He's cute.
Funny?
I think he's fun.
He makes you laugh.
My
he amuses
like
you.
My kids like Major Tutty.
Major Tutty.
He's done a good job. I think the people are starting to soften up on Major Tutty.
Are they?
I think they are. Ladies and gentlemen, Major Tutty. If you're in on Major Tutty, let me hear you. Okay.
If
you're out on Major Tutty.
If you think that stupid pig should go away. See? There we go.
I mean, it's just so adorable.
Well, I do love that people cheer for both things. That's my favorite. Bless you. Bless your
That's
tender
true.
Hearts here. They're just trying to make us happy.
They're
you're
five
nice.
And two. We
they
like
are five
it.
And two. These are the kind of fun questions you have when they're 5-2.
This is true.
Yeah. Change the name. Back to you.
Jaden Daniels' status is very much in question. So here's the official injury report just came out. Limited in practice, questionable. Here's why that's interesting. If he's full go, then he's playing. If he's limited, it tells me you could have him walk out on the field, jog around with his teammates, not throw passes, but go through all the drills and individual stuff, list him as limited, keep the charade going until game time. So that's not a tell necessarily, but all of the things that I've seen from the beginning of the week to now, if you just listen to what the press conferences sound like, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, you'd go, this guy's playing. But not practicing Wednesday, not practicing Thursday. And then when he practices Friday, you guys can't see it. We're not going to let you watch him. It's not going to be on the field he's normally on with the media watching. We're going to be in the bubble, staff only, private eyes operation. It just tells me that they're hiding something. Why? I think they're keeping this going as long as possible, and it's actually leaning toward he's not going to play. Could be wrong. I mean, he makes it seem like it's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
He's got the big smile. He's laughing. He's jovial. It's a rib. I don't know where. I don't know why. I can't tell you the details. I think, though, if he was okay, we just would have seen him practice at some point this week in front of the media.
I think that's true. Now, my counter is he may not be okay yet, but he's about to be. I think that's what they're thinking.
But if that's the case, and maybe I just can't get past my own reasoning and logic on this,
yep.
I'm not playing him. If he's not okay,
well,
then he shouldn't play Sunday.
Well, you're
like if he's like 90% to the point where by Sunday he'll be ready to go, nope, not this week.
That's where I stand, by the way. But I'm taking off my
clothes.
You don't
think they would?
I don't know what they're going
to
do.
I think they're the most conservative staff I've seen with injuries and stuff dating back to training camp. They routinely have Cleveland Farrell and this guy and that guy. Not like Nick Allegretti for a couple of weeks has barely practiced, and they play him on Sunday.
Yeah.
They seem to be first team all, hey, not until it's full go. It's not like they've been pushing anybody
totally
or overly
true.
Aggressive.
But it may just be the nature of this particular injury, which we still don't know exactly what it is, by the way. Again, remember Jaden Daniels said it's a rib and it's in this region here, Tommy Boy style. So, I don't know. Maybe they know that, hey, by this point, it'll be better. Every 24 hours, it improves by 7%. And we were at 57 on one day. And so, given the math, it'll be fine. 7 days later, we'll be at 99. He'll be ready to go. I have no idea. Again, I'm reading the tea leaves like you are. So, to me, the fact that he's questionable, which is not the old questionable, right? It's not the old. It's truly a coin toss. It's more likely than not, I would say, right? Doubtful means it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Questionable is the official designation, which means there's a really good chance he plays.
So what do we think the offense looks like with and without him? My thinking is they're about to have their worst offensive game.
Yep.
And I think Mariota will be their quarterback, and everyone's going to jump to the conclusion that it's because of him. That's a big reason, frankly. But I do think if Daniels played against the Bears, it would not come as easily as it has. Even the Ravens, the best team they've played this year, that is not nearly as good an offense as Chicago. In fact, a defense, rather. I would even say they're middling, pretty average defense. I think the Bears' defense, which ranks top five, may end up at the end of the year being the best defense that they play in terms of a lot of the rankings. So if Daniels played, and this is why I desperately want him to, I think it's the ultimate litmus test. It's the first time we've really seen Cliffy, Daniels, how this thing's going to work all year long against the better defenses. When you get to playoff time, playoff caliber groups on that side of the ball, this will be our first shot at seeing that.
Uh-huh.
That's what I want to see. But even if Daniels played, I think there would be a regression to some extent. I don't think they would suddenly score 10 points and look like, you know, it's Ron Rivera's offense with Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, it'll just feel – I don't know how to say this better than
they're
this.
They're going to punt more than twice.
Yeah, it's going to feel like – let's say everything's fine. Daniels is fine and they're playing in sort of the optimum 72 and sunny situation. It's not going to feel as easy, right? Like, think about first and 10. They go, you're sitting on this. We'll just flip it to Austin Eckler for 14 yards. He'll catch you behind the line of scrimmage and go for 14. First down, we're already at midfield. The next play is Brian Robinson for 7. The next play is Jaden Daniels, keeper, first down. Now you're in plus territory. Quick 7-yarder to Ertz. Second down, Robinson. First down, next series, Robinson. We're in the red zone. Touchdown, 7-0. High fives looking at the Microsoft Surface. That's how it's been against these mediocre to bad teams, right, where you go, they make it look so easy. I promise you it's not. It's not that easy. Even as good as this offense is.
But do you agree with me that even if Daniels plays – they're about to have a tough day.
And this is my point. I'm saying even with him, it's not going to look that way. There are going to be neutralized plays. There's going to be more zeros, more, God forbid, negatives. Or, you know, it just won't be, all you have to do is flip it to Eckler with a little bit of steam and he gets you a first down and change. I just don't think that's going to be as available. This defense is better than anyone that they've played. It's more complete. Baltimore can take one thing away at a time. This is a group that can take multiple things away at a time, but they have against bad offenses.
So we'll get back to this in a second. We're at Uptown Alley here in Manassas, and I just saw on the TV they're talking about whether Jaden Daniels is going to play. He was just listed questionable. But they showed video, some B-roll of him walking back out onto the field, waving at everybody, huge smile, looks like $1 million. I can't get past, by the way, not only was he back on the sideline,
uh-huh,
but the smiling and the waving, and I'm on the car and the parade, and I've got some candy to throw out. Like, he looked okay to me, and that was Sunday. Everyone just assumes, well, he's not playing again. Yeah, because they were up by a million. I'd like to know if that's a playoff game. Do they possibly let him gut through it? It's hard to oversee and look past when he was writhing in pain and grimacing.
Yep.
I don't mean that purple guy that the Mets over talk about.
Not grimace.
Yeah, not that guy.
Not that guy.
But like the actual grimacing, the verb. Yeah. But
to grimace, yeah.
I don't know, man. I think whether he plays or not, if I'm the Bears, I'm getting home in my pass rush. I'm trying to make them one-dimensional. I might even let them run the football with Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, whatever, and I'm trying to make sure there aren't big explosives down the field. That'll be kind of where I'm at on that, I think.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of this. How would you play this then if you're Chicago? You're saying keep everything in front? Because they've done a pretty good job of being able to matriculate, right, with how good the running game's been. If I'm Chicago, do I count on the fact that my run defense will be good enough to get them in second and long?
Well, that's been the closest thing they've had to an issue. We had Brad Biggs on the show earlier today, and he said he's not sold on them stopping the run against Washington.
Right.
But I would give that up over the bigger plays in the passing game if Daniels is on the field. I do think this is the difference. If Marcus Mariota starts at quarterback for Washington, beat me. Please, Marcus.
Yeah, I challenge you. Have a duel.
Oh, you beat Carolina through the air? That's cute.
Carve us up for four quarters when we know it's coming.
But if it's Daniels, I think, honestly, I say, you know what? You're not going to make big plays down the field. Here's your 5 to 7 at a time. We're playing you on the edges so you're not ripping off 45 like you did on your zone read keeper when you got hurt. And I think the entire philosophy shifts based on who they play. What is fascinating, though, is because Mariota's skill set is – basically a poor man's version of J.D.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think about it, Heisman Trophy winner, number 2 overall pick, dual-threat quarterback. People forget what a dog he was at Oregon, how good he was in college.
Yeah.
Long, long time ago. But they're cut from a similar cloth of that college style of offense. I know that's a pejorative for some people, but a lot of the reading things out, RPOs.
Okay, Grant Taylor, Britt.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're just going to – Cliff's going to go, okay, no Jaden, Marcus, here's our first 15 script, and he'll just take the one off of Jaden Daniels' desk and
literally
hand it to Marcus.
Crossed off Jaden, put Marcus.
That's why in a lot of – I think in a lot of ways they went and got Mariota to be their
backup. No, I think it's 100%
they could have signed another guy like a Jacoby Brissett or somebody.
Yeah, there's two main reasons why, just to revisit it, is one, that where you don't have to alter anything in theory, and two, this was a – I don't want to say this better. This is not – I don't mean to be – didn't mean it to be disrespectful to Mariota, but here is a Heisman Trophy number two pick where it didn't work out, right? The sage advice that that guy can give over the pitfalls and problems, I think, is worth more than the next guy.
I think,
right?
That's a side effect. I don't think that was part of the thinking.
I 100% think it was part of it. The not having to change
backup?
The offense. Yeah,
I can see that as a third quarterback.
Like as a mentorship part of it, where it's like, hey, man, I was in your shoes and it didn't go well. Like, learn from me. And you know, Daniels has referenced how good of a leader and how helpful Mariota's been. But that's either here or there for this week. To me, if I'm Chicago, I'm going – I don't believe in Marcus Mariota's ability to be accurate mid-range to deep. I don't simply don't believe in it. If you get one, you're not getting two. If you get two, you're not getting three. Like, I will take my chances there. That means pressure.
So how do you explain away what happened against the Panthers?
I think the Carolina's terrible. I think they'd already quit, and I think they weren't ready for it. I thought they thought something different would happen. But for Carolina, I mean, excuse me, for Chicago, I'm much better than Carolina in every facet, and especially here defensively. And I would challenge – that's the main reason Mariota hasn't been a starting quarterback in this league for more than a handful of weeks at a time for teams.
Because always, he's not that good?
Well, that's a big part of it, but it's the accuracy part. The athleticism is there. You can see how much of a pain in the butt he is to play against. It's the – anything beyond, you know, a check down or a horizontal thing, if you ask him to fit it in a tight window, to throw with anticipation, to do all the NFL quarterback things, it's not what he's great at.
I will say that the first drive, maybe two drives even – it was ugly from an accuracy standpoint. And I don't think anyone should take issue with him on that. He's ice cold off the bench. He didn't get
reps. Hadn't played it forever. Yeah.
From the final drive of the half on, he was pinpoint. Like, I'm talking control in the strike zone and command hitting the mitt. Mm-hmm. There was a throw to De'Ami Brown I had a crazy view of from the box where it's an in-breaker. There's three defenders. It's over fingertips in a small window. De'Ami catches it out of his break. I mean, it was big-time throw, legit quarterback stuff, and you go, dang, Mariota's feeling himself
a little bit. Yeah.
There were a couple other plays where he escaped, reset, plants his feet, and he's – what I liked about it, and Jaden needs to keep doing more and more of this and take this page off his book, out of his book, but he's resetting out of the pocket to throw again. My favorite, if you want to talk props or FanDuel or whatever this week, I think if Mariota plays, if you can find rushing attempts, I'm hammering an over on that. Rushing yards, maybe, because it'll be low. It'll be in the 20s. I'd go over. He ran the ball 11 times in three quarters. 11 times in three quarters against Carolina. Because I think he's going to be in the pocket, get out of the pocket as quickly as he can. He's not trying to take sacks. He's not trying to get hit.
Right.
He really can't afford to get him hit. And it was funny because he took three or four huge shots. I actually asked him about it after the game.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
You're the backup quarterback, man. If you get hurt, it's Driscoll and Prey. Now, I guess my wife would be really happy because Sam Hartman would come in, and she would be steamed up for that.
I saw somebody had a video where they're like, the practice squad is still handsome. You know, he's just like happened to be standing by a fan.
I actually got
come on, man.
I got a text from her during the game where she's
your
like,
wife, you mean?
It's just, yeah. It's a picture of Sam Hartman on because she was at the game.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman on the sideline. Like, can you watch the game, please? Do we have to?
Could you watch the game?
Sam Hartman?
Sam Hartman, man.
He's on the sideline. You don't need to look at – what are you looking at Sam Hartman for anyway?
What aren't you looking at Sam Hartman for?
That's true.
I'd look at Sam Hartman.
He is.
I would check on him.
That's a dreamboat.
Right?
You got to check on him.
But like somebody showed this like video or whatever. It's like slow-mo of him. Like, of course he found a way to be by the fans, so his hair's doing that thing.
Yeah.
Like, could you just –
And
you,
also –
could you get caught in, like in trash or something?
He just looked like a wrestler who just came out of, like, what they call the gorilla position out of the – you know, when the music –
You know the video I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. But, like, the curtains fly open. You know, they just got sprayed down by someone, so they're oily. Like, Sam Hartman looked like he just, like, basically got out of the shower. For some reason, his jersey wasn't on. He was shirtless. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, just finished. Like, he's like, all right, Ma, I love you so much. You're my world.
He had a V-taper that was slightly exposed.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very odd. Uptown Alley. We're live. We're out and about.
We're live. People are staring
Uptown
at us a lot
Uptown Alley.
Right now.
It got weird. We had
right
a moment there.
We veered.
Let's get back on track.
We veered off.
Family program. What do you guys anticipate the offense looking like if Jaden Daniels doesn't play? We'll take your calls next. Fill up the lines, 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week. And for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday into that first piece, Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today. And playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan, you know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes, you know, decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. That'll guide us.
That is Dan Quinn. We are Grant and Danny. This is The Fan, and we are live at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Appreciate everybody listening to the program on a Football Friday. It's also our Friday field trip series. Stop number two, Manassas, is showing out. We appreciate that. It's been great to catch up with some listeners. I got to say, a police officer, an officer of the law, just came up to the table. I was a little nervous at first.
At first, I'm like, yeah, my God.
What did I do?
Am I underage drinking?
Always my first thought. But he was very nice.
Yes.
But the problem is, okay, he came up right as I was about to do my FanDuel read.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, what's up? I just want to say. And I was like, hey, shook his hand really quick. And I was like, I got to do a read. And I started talking on the air. I don't know where he went. He may have left.
Well, you know what was so
funny? I don't want him to think I big time him, first of all. Second of all, if I'm going to annoy anyone, it's not going to be an officer of the law.
Well,
so I just want him to know,
yeah,
was doing the read, happy to chat for as long as you'd like.
Yeah.
Just come on back. Let's kick it. But he probably is like out defending and serving.
Well, he's very, very friendly, very
but
nice.
If you're listening right, yeah, now, I want you to know, thank you for saying hello, and we should have had a longer conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was tough that he took that slight personally, Jordan style, looking at the iPad, and went and ticketed your car. Just jogged right out there and just wrote you a ticket.
It's like, this is GP.
Just because. He found it and ticketed it. Right?
I deserve
he
it.
Slapped it on the windshield.
But if you get a chance, if there aren't, if you're short on bad guys to go take care of today, come on back.
Come on by.
Hang with us at Uptown Alley. But thank you for stopping through. I appreciate that. I always feel bad because it's like that people like, so we're live.
Yes.
Occasionally, every once in a while on breaks, we have to do the reads and people come up and you're like, oh, 1 second. But then they think you're just saying you can't talk.
You're just Bob.
That's not
Tanner.
What I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Phones are open, 800-636-1067. The question for you guys is, what's the Commanders' offense going to look like? Is it going to be any different schematically? Will the play calling be altered at all if Jaden Daniels doesn't play? And what's the result going to be? Let's go to David, who's in Round Hill, who's giving us a call on the Fan. David, what's up?
What's up, guys? Grant, Danny, how you doing?
Great, pal.
Doing very well, buddy.
Big fan of you guys. You guys do it. You guys do it right every day. Listen, I got a hot take for you guys. First of all, I like to say, like I did last time I called, here's Johnny. Everybody. This, I said that when Allen went down. I said I love this kid, Newton. I think he's going to be good. So that's just a hot take for you guys. Another thing I like to say, first off, real quick before I get to your guys' questions.
Oh, Johnny Newton. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what is he talking
about. Johnny Newton. Johnny.
Okay, so you're saying it's Johnny Newton's time. Let's go play football.
Let's go play ball, baby.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So your question was, you're thinking about how Mariota's going to do. Well, he showed you last week what he can do. He still obviously got a little bit left in the tank. And I think obviously, but Peters, Dan Quinn, they knew what they were doing when they brought Mariota in there. They knew who they were drafting, and in case of something like this to happen, they got somebody that can still run the offense and do the same thing that they have set up. Also, I'd like to say that this might be a little crazy now, but we keep Hartman on the practice squad. We keep him for a reason.
Because he's handsome.
Handsome.
Listen, other than him being handsome.
Besides, you know, handsome, okay.
Listen, I think give him. Why not see what he can do? Like this is we're 5-2 right now. This Chicago game.
Oh wow! Oh, you just want to bypass QB2 and QB3.
No.
And go straight to QB4.
Yes.
If there was a handsome ability correlation,
right.
He'd be a goat.
You realize that you don't get first downs for being sexy, right?
Just put him out there and see what he can do under pressure. This is a big game. A lot of eyes are going to be on. See what kind of quarterback you have there. And if he goes out there and he plays good, then you know what you have in him. Keep him back there. If anything, his stock rises.
This is my wife with the voice changer, isn't it? This is my wife with
like,
the
same thing that Jordan Scream did, you know, like, I'm inside the house. Like, that's what it is. It's the voice modulator.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, buddy.
Here's Johnny. I remember now.
Johnny.
He's all in on Johnny Newton.
Yeah, he's a Johnny Newton guy.
I'm excited to see Johnny Newton, see what his development. I will say, quiet last week.
Yeah.
But they did a really good job against the run for the most part. That was going to be a tough challenge. The best thing that happened for them defensively was that they got up by a big enough lead that Carolina had to throw the football anyway. But I thought Fedarian Mathis specifically, certainly Johnny Newton to an extent as well, when they asked F.A. Obada, whoever was tapped into to try to help replace John Allen, certainly did the job. And you got to give them credit. It was easier because they were
sure,
up by 100 points. Let's go to Ravi in Herndon. What's
Robbie
up, Ravi?
Ray.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Hey, look, longtime fan of the show. I actually live in New York now, but I'm back for the weekend, and I'm glad to see you guys are still going strong. So
yes, man.
Let's go. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I think, look, this weekend, whenever you have a lot of success, when you see it with the Belichick-Brady situation, Andy Reid, Mahomes, there's a little bit of discussion about whether or not the offensive coordinator or sometimes the head coach is more responsible for the success of the offense or if the quarterback is. So I think that's going to be a thing moving forward here. And obviously Cliff is going to be in the running for head coaching jobs again. So I think this is a chance if JD doesn't play for Cliff to show that it's his playbook that's carrying a load, which I think obviously both are responsible for the success. But so that's a little element of this that I think is interesting. I also think that I have a three-pronged answer here. So I think Mariota is the perfect backup for JD. I mean, he's a backup. Of course, you lose some accuracy. You lose some decision-making. But the speed is there, and you can run the playbook. I don't think you have to cut anything out. You know, you might not be able to depend on the same level of production, but you're going to have a similar guy. And then I just want to say, if Cliff does hear this, look, man, I'm 26 years old. I've been a Skins fan since I was, like, a kid, like maybe 6-7 years old. I've been here through RG3. I have a bone to pick with these designed interior quarterback runs. You're running him into the defensive line, like the biggest guys on the field, the most vicious guys on the field. I don't know if I like that. Whatever you're trying to do with that, you know, keeping him honest or whatever, you can do that with Eckler. You know, you just
let's just tear that page out of the playbook.
Keep him honest, maybe once every three games.
That's a good phone call. Thank you.
We can't just be continuing to do it.
I actually want to double click on what he just said about Kingsbury and this being a week where if they go out without Daniels.
It's a Cliff week.
And light it up. Cliff Kingsbury next week is head coaching candidate.
Yeah, that's your resume builder right there. That's the headline.
I want to tackle that. Plus, next, Jaden Daniels spoke with the media today. You'll hear that. And what Dan Quinn is saying this afternoon about the chance of Daniels playing. What do we think is actually happening? He's healthier than we think. He's not as healthy as people think. Or you're just taking him at their word and they're actually telling you step for step truly what is going on behind the scenes. Grant and Danny, live from Manassas on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.